Ladies and gentlemen, in radio, some programs come to you as a public service. Other programs come to you transcribed. Here is a program that comes to you if you call it.
Who's the star, Lassie?
No, he's Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, look, after this, please, just say, here he is or something. Don't make a whole big production out of the opening, if you will.
I'll speak to my writer about it.
Do that, if you will. That's the whole trouble with this program, you know, the writers. One writer used to work in a butcher shop. He sells his jokes by the pound. Has the scales with him whenever you deal with him. And the other writer comes to work with a hammer and a chisel. I think he used to write epitaphs, or he's a prehistoric old gentleman. I don't know which.
Some of the jokes sound like epitaphs.
Well, that's the other writer. He's an old Harvard man. He writes all of his jokes in dead languages. You can always tell one of his jokes. It just lays there. Well, enough with the grumbling, as that one did. That was one of his specials right there. Did you hear Jack Benny tonight?
Uh-huh.
His show was cut off again tonight, cut off last week, too. There's a new saying in radio, you'll never hear the end of Benny from now. Tell me, Portland, what's in the news?
An anthropologist says that...
Wait a minute. Wait. Don't use words that we're not familiar with. Break them up. What is an anthropologist? What is that?
An anthropologist is a man who is versed in anthropology.
Oh, good. I didn't think you knew it. I thought I had you there. What about this anthropologist?
He says that brainy men are all bald-headed.
Brainy men are all bald? What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
You have plenty of hair.
Well, Einstein has plenty of hair, too.
There's some difference between your hair and Einstein.
You bet there is. I comb mine. Tell me, what the... I got a nasty letter from Al and hieroglyphics tomorrow. What else is new?
Gregory Peck broke his ankle.
Oh, poor Gregory. Will he have to stop work?
Well, until Gregory's ankle gets better, he's going to make hop-along pictures.
Hop-along pictures. That's one of the Harvard man's jokes, too. I'll point them out as I lay them out as they... fine.
I'm going like a house on fire tonight.
You sure are. You sure are. And I wish I had a pail of dirty water to cope with the conflagration. Tell me, what is your last item?
New York City is planning an anti-rat drive.
Anti-rat?
Mama says there's only one way to get rid of rats.
And that one way is?
Keep your trap shut.
Let's go out on the street and do this, will you? I won't open my trap then until I get to Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, during the past 6 months, the Better Business Bureau has received an increasing number of complaints about exaggeration and misrepresentation in advertising. And so our question is, have you been victimized by exaggeration or misrepresentation in advertising?
Shall we go?
As the two inventors said when they designed the first garter, let's make it snappy. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess Senator Claghorn's in, all right. Look, his scooter is on the front veranda there. Well, let's make sure.
Somebody, I see somebody's banging my door, trying to bag it. Oh, it's you, droop face.
Yes, Senator.
Well, give it to me fast, son. I'm busier than the syrup jug in the waffle shop.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm investigating the coal strike.
Coal?
Coal strike's doing the country a lot of good.
Good?
Today, in Pittsburgh, if you meet a man on the street, you can see who he is. As John L. Lewis says, you can't fuel all of the people any of the time unless I say so.
Now, tell me, Senator, about this exaggeration and misrepresentation in advertising.
Advertising is the grease that lubricates the wheels of progress.
You think advertising...
John, advertising gets results.
How?
Before advertising, a man didn't know where his T-zone was.
Well,
that's... Men who knew tobacco best was chewing it. Other smokers knew as much as Philip Morris smokers knew.
But,
Dulles was just laying around doing nothing.
Well, Senator, tell me, are the politicians keeping up with the businessmen? Are the politicians advertising?
They sure are. Them Republicans is advertising a slogan. It's just five letters.
Five letters?
LSMFT.
What does LSMFT stand for?
Let's swap MacArthur for Truman. So long, Tom. So long, that is.
I think the senator's been drinking too many malted milks. He's a little frap happy. Well, let's see if Mr. Moody's still up.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, how about this advertising business?
Oh, a farmer, he has to know about advertising.
Why?
It's the only way he can make his farm pay.
Oh, you have advertising around your farm, do you?
On all four sides of my barn, I got Peruna and liver pill ads.
Yeah?
My bull's all painted yellow, advertising Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
And I got the longest Burma Shave poem in the country.
Oh, really? How does your poem go?
John McGee had a long goatee. When he combed it out, it hung down to his knee.
Yeah.
Today, John's happy. He married a wave. His goatee's gone, thanks to Burma Shave.
That is long.
Yeah, the poem starts half a mile down the road.
I see.
It comes in my gate, goes once around the house.
Yeah.
And the last line is on my back door, on the inside.
Oh, you have to open the door to read the last line of the Burma Shave poem?
That's the trick.
The trick?
As you open the back door, my wife's sitting there selling the stuff.
Well, doesn't all of this advertising keep you hopping?
Sunday is my busiest day.
Oh, what happened?
On the Sabbath, yeah. I stand out in the front yard all day.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing a silk hat, a swallowtail coat, an ascot tie, white spats, and I'm leaning on a Russian wolfhound.
You're leaning on a Russian wolfhound?
In my hand, I'm holding a highball.
Well, what are you supposed to be?
A rube of distinction. So long, Bob.
I wonder if Titus will really switch from hard cider. Oh, well, let's try this next door.
Howdy, Chaffee.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you look excited.
Who's excited? I'm frantic.
What's wrong?
As I'm taking out of the oven an upside-down cake is ringing suddenly the telephone.
Uh-huh.
Hurriedly, I'm stepping down the upside-down cake and answering naturally the telephone.
Well, so what is all the excitement about?
I'm forgetting how I'm stepping down the upside-down cake.
Say, that is confusing.
Now I'm not knowing which side is upside and which side is downside.
What are you going to do?
I'm standing it on end and calling it a strudel.
That's good. Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, have you been victimized by misrepresentation in advertising?
Mostly in the movies.
In the movies?
On the screen is showing a trailer.
Yes.
It is saying, coming next week, you shouldn't miss it. Chills will leaping up your spine.
I see.
Always this week the picture is bad.
Bad.
Next week is coming a humdinger.
I've noticed that.
Last night I'm going to the movies.
A double feature?
The zombie is getting up his dander in Technicolor.
Yeah.
Also, the wolf man is having a litter.
I've seen that. Very good. How were the pictures?
Too blinted.
Oh, bad.
Again, it's flashing on the screen. Coming next week, you were blowing your top.
That's coming next week.
One thing is not coming next week.
What?
I am not coming, thank you.
And that brings us to the peat-covered shanty of Mr. Cassidy. Mr. Cassidy surely must be waiting for us.
Well, tell me, Mr. Cassidy.
Oh, that's from the other fellow. Tell me, Mr. Cassidy. Tell me, Mr. Cassidy, about this advertising discussion.
Me boy, advertising should be stopped by legislation.
Really?
Especially them preposterous contests they have on the radio.
Why do you say that?
Oh, thanks to them quiz programs, every moron in America today has a refrigerator. I heard the quiz program now.
Yeah.
One of the contestants had amnesia. They asked him who he was. He couldn't remember his name.
Yes.
For making a grand try, they gave him $800. And then...
Yeah.
Then they gave him a brand new house in case he couldn't remember where he lived.
You say you're against these radio contests, Ajax?
Oh, no. Look what contest did for Genghis Brannigan.
What happened to Genghis?
Well, after winning 2 limericks and a jingle prize...
Yeah?
Genghis won the biggest soap contest in the country.
What was the first prize?
Genghis gets $40 a week as long as he lives.
Yes?
And for 52 weeks after he dies.
Good.
His son is getting a college education with a career guaranteed.
Fine.
They're sending Genghis's daughter to a finishing school until she's finished.
Well.
And Genghis and Mrs. Brannigan have to take a cruise to Bermuda every 2 weeks until they're 65, whether they want to or not.
Say, that was some award.
Oh, it was the Pixie Soap Contest. I use Pixie Soap because...
Well, what was Genghis's winning answer?
I use Pixie soap because I'm dirty. Goodbye.
That brings us to the 5 DeMarco sisters and Maestro Al Goodman. Combining their unusual talents, the DeMarcos and Maestro Goodman come up with When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbing Along.
And now, ladies. Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
This message just came from Mrs. Nussbaum. She wants to see you right away.
Well, I just left there. Something must be up, Kenny. We better get back to Alan's Alley. Well, this is the old alley, Kenny. It's the 3rd door.
All right, I'll knock.
Howdy, Chappie.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, I just received your message. Is something wrong?
Confidentially, I'm needing advice.
Advice?
I'm looking for a certain party.
Yes?
He is telling my husband, Pierre, to taking his Ford for service back home.
Oh, I know that certain party. Kenny, Mrs. Nussbaum here says you told Pierre to take his Ford back home for service.
Well, yes, Mrs. Nussbaum. I advise every Ford owner to take his Ford back home for service.
This on the radio I'm hearing.
Well, your Ford dealer has Ford-trained mechanics and special equipment just for working on Ford.
This also I'm hearing.
Your Ford dealer uses factory-approved methods and genuine Ford parts. It pays to take your Ford back home for service.
Sending Fords back home is one thing.
Yes?
But everything Pierre is sending back home.
How do you mean?
Mein cream cheese he's sending back home to Philadelphia. Mein furniture he's sending back home to Grand Rapids.
Well, why don't you put your foot down?
Both feet I'm putting down.
What happened?
Pierre is sending me back home to my mother. Thank you.
You have just heard a few random notes plucked from You Were Meant for Me by Maestro Al Goodman and his UN orchestra. UN meaning unfinished numbers. And now, say, Portland.
Yes?
Would you be kind enough to hand me that news clipping on the piano over there?
This one?
Yes. I cut it out of Variety. It's a want ad.
What does the ad want?
Oh, no, wait. It says that's from that Harvard man, too. The ad says here, wanted immediately radio scripts for new mystery program. Must be very exciting, very dramatic, and very cheap. Call Basil Rathbone, Biltmore Theater.
Isn't Basil Rathbone in that play, The Heiress?
Oh, yes, he's still in The Heiress, but he must be coming back into radio in his spare time. Now, I have a story that just fits Basil. When my mystery goes on the air, Sam Spade will start digging his own grave.
How Has Mr. Rathbone seen your script yet?
No, not yet. I have an appointment tonight. I'm going over to Basil's apartment right now. Portland, I'll see you later. Ah, this is the place. What's this sign on the door? Basil Rathbone, criminal investigator, crime solved at all hours, can fix parking tickets. Also, orchestra seats for the heiress. I wonder if Basil is in.
Well, Fred Allen.
Basil Rathbone. Say, Basil, if you're busy...
Not at all, Fred. Come in.
You know, I thought you might be posing. I've seen your picture in so many ads lately.
Yes, I'm using Fasana blades. I've accepted the Saverin Coffee Challenge, and I'm drinking Schaefer's, the finest beer I've ever tasted.
Gad, Basil, you're doing everything but stepping out of thousands of store windows.
I endorse cigarettes too, Fred, over the radio.
You endorse cigarettes on the air?
Why, who do you think Willie the Penguin is?
Basil, you mean?
Smoke cool.
Doesn't it bother you impersonating a penguin that way?
Well, I think I've been doing the penguin too long, you know, Fred. Occasionally I catch myself waddling.
Well, you better stop before you start snapping at Admiral Byrd. Speaking of ads, Basil, I saw your ad in Variety.
Oh, about my new radio program.
Yes.
Yes, if I get the right script, Fred, I can put my program on the air tomorrow.
Well, what about a sponsor?
Oh, I have a sponsor. It's a frozen fruit concern.
Fruit? I've heard of frozen food.
This company only freezes watermelons.
Oh, watermelons.
Yes, my program will be called the Fagel Frozen Watermelon Mystery Theater.
Fagel's Frozen Watermelon.
Yes, the program opens with two gunshots, then a jingle. Listen to this. When you're buying frozen fruit, what's the fruit that's sure to suit? It's a frosted goodie, the fastest selling Fagel's Frozen Watermelon.
That is, without a doubt, the finest singing commercial I've heard since a royal pudding.
Yes, if I could only find a script that's exciting.
They both be on the hit parade by Saturday.
Fred, I want a script as exciting as Fagel's commercial.
Well, Basil, I...
Well, look here. Look at all these mystery scripts that I have here. They're sending it to me. They're impossible.
But,
Look at this one. It's called The Man with the Neon Jimmy.
The Man with the Neon Jimmy? What? What is it about?
Well, a burglar goes into rob a factory.
Yes?
The safe is too heavy, so he saws the safe in two and carries one part of it away.
Do they catch the burglar?
The next night.
Yes?
The burglar comes back for the other part of the safe.
Why does he come back?
The burglar doesn't want to be half safe.
Hey, that sounds like a case the fat man has sat on.
Frankly, Fred, as you can see, I need a good mystery.
And that is why I am here. I have the perfect story for your Fagel Frozen Watermelon Mystery Theater.
Is it good?
This script will hold television at bay for 20 years.
Ah. What is your mystery about, Fred?
Well, as the story starts, we hear dramatic music.
I am Norbert Nottingham. I was England's leading barrister. Tomorrow, I'm to be hanged for murder. Why, you say? Well, it all began 2 months ago. Lady Bensonhurst, the famous bird lover, invited me to her tea party. How well I remember that fatal afternoon. I entered the drawing room. The cuckoo clock struck three. I put my briefcase on the table. Chung, Lady Bensonhurst's houseboy, greeted me.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Nottingham.
Good afternoon, John.
Care for tea?
No, thank you, John.
Care for cocktail?
Not right now.
Chung, make a special oriental martini.
Oriental martini?
Instead, have Oliver Chung use lychee nut. Very tasty.
Oh, yes. I was about to accept Chung's offer when Lady Bensonhurst rapped her fan for attention.
Quiet, quiet, everyone. Quiet, please. I'm now going to divulge why I invited all of you bird lovers here this afternoon. Mr. Nottingham here is my solicitor. I've called him here to change my will.
But Lady Bensonhurst...
I'm leaving my entire fortune to buy worms for undernourished English sparrows.
Worms?
From the day I die, no English sparrow will ever go hungry.
And bravo! Bravo!
Lady Bensonhurst was mad. Lady Bensonhurst was mad leaving her fortune to the sparrows. I had to talk to her alone. I must get rid of that crowd of bird lovers. Rushing to the window, I shouted, "Look! Look out there on the lawn! A yellow-bellied sapsucker! And out of season, too!" It worked. The crowd rushed out. We were alone. Lady Bensonhurst spoke.
"I say, Norbert, why are you looking at me so strangely?"
"Now, Lady Bensonhurst, about your will." I had finished my business with Lady Bensonhurst and was putting on my Inverness cape when one of the bird lovers rushed in.
"I say, Lady Bensonhurst, the yellow-bellied sapsucker got away." I say, Lady Bensonhurst.
"Something wrong, old man?"
"Well, it's Lady Bensonhurst, Mr. Nottingham. She's dead."
"Dead?"
"I say, I'm calling the police."
"Summoning all vehicles. Summoning all vehicles. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Proceed to Bensonhurst Manor, Lower Uppington on the Scrod. Lady Bensonhurst has come a cropper. Calling Detective One Long Pan. One Long Pan."
"Greetings and shalom alakum, kiddies." "Detective One Long Pan, Chinese Dick Clancy on job. Long Pan, look over the butler and the chauffeur is Long Pan. The door. Long Pan, look over. Oh, Long Pan, oh, Long Pan, potential A Burrows."
"I say, old boy, I say. Will you stop that foul bellowing?"
"Who are you, Mr. Long Nose?"
"I am Norbert Nottingham, Lady Bensonhurst's solicitor."
"Very good. But who is Lady Bensonhurst?"
"Lady Bensonhurst is the body. She's there on the chair, slumped over her lorgnette."
Long Pan, whoop into action. Solve crime no time."
"Well, I hope so. I'm due at the Audubon Society in half an hour."
"All right. Little man talking with sponge in mouth. Who are you?"
"I'm Cuthbert Collins, president of the Birmingham Bird Watchers Society, Nest 4.
Nest 4. Very good, very good, Mr. Cuthbert Collins. Long Pan arrests you for murder Lady Swensonhurst."
"Oh, that's ridiculous."
"Yes, when Lady Bensonhurst was done in, I was out on the lawn looking for a yellow-bellied sapsucker."
"Long Pan leave no stone unturned. Long Pan grew yellow Kelly strap knocker."
"The sapsucker is a bird, Long Pan. You're just beating about the bush."
"Exactly. Confucius say, many men who beat around the bush get bird, but not yellow Kelly strap knocker."
"Your car's waiting, Mr. Nottingham."
"Oh, thank you, Molly, thank you. Well, I must trip along. Can I drop you somewhere, Long Pan?"
Not so fast, Mr. Boddingham. Woman in case here look very suspicious. Who are you, Missy, Mrs. Short, a dark, and dumpy?"
"I'm Molly, the maid."
"Long Pan, cherche la femme."
"Eh, get your hands off me, you heathen. You ain't no chiropractor."
You fess up, Missy. You personal. You kill Lady Fensonhurst."
"You're balmy. I was outside changing the water in the bird bath."
"Oh, ho, Long Pan, clap you. Long Pan, catch you now. Not a Saturday night. Why you change water in bird bath?"
"For the white rump pipits."
"The white lump nippets?"
"The water was dirty. The pipit's white rumps was coming out tattletale gray."
"Long Pan, it's obvious you're getting nowhere."
"Long Pan, closing in. Who else? Who else was in house?"
"Well, only Chung, the houseboy."
You ling for Chung. "You
very
ling
well.
For Chung."
"Yes."
"Long Pan, grill Chung to fairly well."
Somebody ling?
"Oh, Chung.
Long Pan. Oh.
Joy Ling Toy Ming Tong.
Oh, Sing Long Wee Po.
Wee Fong Ling Long Bugu Gai Pen.
Oh, Mugu Gai Pen Ding Wo Po.
Oh, Hulama.
Oh, Hulama. Hulama.
I say, do you two celestials know each other?
Oh, in China, confidentially, in China, Chung here, big counterfeiter.
Counterfeiter?
Why you leave China, Chung?
The inflation. Got to work all year to make a dollar.
Oh. Very good. You fess up, Chung. Chinghua, Chung, Long Feng, Chung. Oh.
From beginning.
What happened?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Lady Bensonhurst was giving a tea party for bird lovers.
Exactly.
I was Lady Bensonhurst's solicitor. She told me to bring her will.
By Jove, now I recall.
You recall what, Mr. Stoolpitcher?
Well, Lady Bensonhurst announced she was changing her will.
Changing will?
And then someone shouted, oh, look, on the lawn, there's a yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Again, the yellow-kelly strapknocker.
Yeah, but we all dashed out.
When you come back?
Lady Bensonhurst was dead, and Mr. Nottingham was putting on his Inverness.
Very good. Long Pan arrest you, Mr. Nottingham, for murder Lady Jensen first.
You're insane, Long Pan. Why should I kill Lady Bensonhurst?
Long Pan examine briefcase. Open briefcase.
Don't you touch those papers.
Lady Bensonhurst was changing her will. She was leaving her fortune to buy worms for destitute sparrows.
Oh-ho, you see, will here not to change. Beneficiary, not sparrow.
Well, who is the beneficiary?
Mr. Norbert Nottingham. Solution obvious. Mr. Nottingham need money.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why should I need money?
This stock certificate, also here in briefcase. Empire Sung Glass Limited. Go bankrupt last week. You, Mr. Nottingham, principal stockholder.
Yes, I know. I was a fool. I bought 2 million pairs of sunglasses to sell in England, and the sun hasn't been out in England for 3 years.
Motive, confidentially obvious. You lose fortune. You kill Lady Bensonhurst to catch him money and will. You fess up. Fess up.
This evidence is all circumstantial, Long Pan. I defy you to prove I murdered Lady Bensonhurst.
You'll be sorry. Long Pan, examine body.
All right, you'll see. There are no bullet holes, no knife wounds, no evidence of poison.
Holy smoke.
What is it, Long Pan?
On back Lady Bensonhurst's head, you see.
What?
Four lumps.
Four lumps?
Tea, anyone?
Long Pan arrest you again, Mr. Nottingham, for murder Lady Bensonhurst.
Ah, good try, old pig, but where is the weapon?
No weapon used. You see where body's sitting?
It's in front of the radio.
On top of radio, light behind head, is cuckoo clock. Long Pan turn clock back to 4 o'clock. You watch.
Gad, the cuckoo hit Lady Bensonhurst on the head 4 times.
At the base of skull, medulla oblongata. First blow, stun. Next 2 blows, tentatively kill. Fourth blow, kill positively.
I think I'll step out and have a look at that yellow-killed strap knocker.
Not so fast, Mr. Nottingham. Long panel, that's you for third and final time for murder Lady Benson Bunsen Burner.
Long Pan, you're uncanny.
Confucius say, man who commit murder with clock end up doing time. Oh, Long Pan hot tonight. Chinese Jack Eigen tonight. Let's go, Mr. Nottingham. Good night, Chung.
Oh, good night, Long Pan.
I want to thank Basil Rathbone for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Mr. James Farley, the author of that bestseller, The James Farley Story. And as usual, your host will be your friendly Ford dealer. Here's a tip-off on what they're saying in Detroit these days. The word is watch Ford in 48. Meanwhile, it will pay you Ford owners to keep your present car in top-notch condition. And the way to do that is to bring it back home for service, home to your Ford dealer. Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.